gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
The Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. Happy Friday. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. John King, CNN anchor extraordinaire, coming up in less than half an hour.
That's
on
right.
The Newsmaker Hotline. Comedian John Fugelsang, our buddy, our pal, live in studio for the entire hour three for a festive Friday show. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LeBoy, voice deity Jim Ward, who is knowing CASA once again. He's fever? Swine flu. We're going to say swine flu.
He has a fever.
Okay.
Yes.
Let's say swine flu. We'll get more press.
Okay.
All right. He is a Peggy Lee type fever this morning.
If,
all right.
If so, you will.
But you can email us all normally at StephanieMiller.com. Like Mark did with, oh, it's some listener comedy. You know, Christopher.
What?
We got quite the blowback yesterday from having the CEO of Ashley Madison on.
No, we had a good discussion.
That's the dating site for people who want to cheat on their spouses.
Yes.
It proved to be somewhat inflammatory, with a lot of people calling me a slut, a whore, what else? Hypocrite. Taking his money.
She's a
money grubber.
Look at her.
Yes.
What?
Yes. Mark writes, dear Steph, I'm encouraged by the lax standards and want to advertise on your program. I have a product. We have opened the floodgates.
Yeah.
I have a product called Jack's Beanstalk. It's a male enhancement cream applied topically. It's really just ranch dressing, but I've added...
So tasty, too.
But I've added peppercorns for her pleasure.
Oh.
This is proprietary information, not for broadcast. But oh, oops. Yikes, I may have lost that advertiser already. I need you to read the pitch yourself, delivered in that sultry, breathless tigress kitten purr you lapse into whenever the topic turns to box wine. And oh yes, the compensation will be mostly in product. Mark in Minneapolis. Thank you, Mark. As long as the check clears.
Will he send us as much of his product as Astroglide sent of their product?
Please, extra peppercorns in mine.
Yes.
All right. In the meantime, the president talking about the budget cuts that he is asking for.
The 121 budget cuts we are announcing today will save taxpayers nearly $17 billion next year alone. And even by Washington standards, that should be considered real money.
Listen, we had the bank stress test yesterday as well.
Yes, we did.
But we have our own stress test every day. It's called driving in traffic in Los Angeles, and now Jim didn't show up. And so I've had my own stress test this morning, and I passed with flying colors. Look at me. Sean Hannity on the stress test.
So more money to the banks, the market falls once again, and wishful thinking when it comes to controlling spending. Just another day in Obama's socialist utopia.
So the budget cut's not enough for Sean.
No.
He says no.
No. And the stress test. The banks didn't pass the Sean Hannity stress test.
That's right.
Mm. Oh, dear.
If banks need more money, then it's socialism.
Okay. If only more people in the GOP would listen to Sean Hannity. Because, you know, the Republicans are listening to the people, Chris.
Yes, they are.
Hey, Representative Eric Cantor, how's that Republican rebranding listening type tour going?
We're going to be out there listening to the people. That's what we really mean.
Listen to the people. That's what we're talking about here. We're listening to the people. Listen to the people. Listening and learning. Listen to the people.
Shut up!
What do you think a teacher's going to look like this year?
We need a teaching tour.
Just threw up in my mouth a little bit.
Really, this is not a listening tour.
So they want you to listen to what they're saying? Well, that sounds like a listening tour to me.
Huh. And is anybody out there listening or no?
Computer says no.
That's why we do need, in the Republican Party, to go out and talk about our conservative principles, to really talk to them at a higher level and say, look.
No, this is not a listening tour. That's crazy.
We need a teaching tour.
Rush really is the leader.
Yeah. That is scary.
Threw up in my mouth a little bit.
Thank you, listener Ken in Cleveland. Fabulous montage. All right. Oh, speaking of which, by the way, clearly I am a whore.
Why?
Well, because I'm taking the Ashley Madison money.
And having sex with it.
No, I'm not. There's no pictures of that. There's no video.
Oh, okay.
Don't you bring up my morals clause. I'm going to keep my crown.
Okay.
Anyway, we will replay the interview with the CEO of Ashley Madison, since it was such a hot topic.
Yes, it was.
As they say in talk radio.
God, we're like The View.
Water cooler.
We have hot topics.
All right, we were going to replay that later in the show today. Because here's the other reason I'm a whore, because as you know, I will show up anywhere they say there's a television camera.
Yes.
I was on CNBC yesterday. I don't even know the name of the show or what the anchors' names were. I sometimes the camera goes on, and I realize that I probably should have researched that before I go on.
You were like Cindy Brady when the camera went on her on that little game show.
Yes, I was.
Yes.
I don't know who I was like. Well, my friend, I think, because he asked me a question right out of the box, and I'm like, I've never seen this show. I don't know who it is.
Oh, that's what that was about in the live blog.
Oh.
They asked you about the stress test, and you were
I didn't see that coming. They didn't tell me that was the topic. I was like,
And you said, I don't know.
Oh.
I don't know.
Listen, they told me the three topics. It was cocktail hour. I got through the three topics, and then he threw me that at the end. I didn't even know what show I was on or who the guy was. It's like,
If you'd like to see Stephanie's stellar performance, it's in the video section and towards the bottom of the page at stephaniemiller.com.
It's the best I've ever done. All right, let's...
People on the live blog said you look great.
Oh, why, thank you, live blog. Thank you. Mama loves you. Mama loves you best. Mama loves the live bloggers best.
That's right.
All right, let's pause for a moment while Arthur in Michigan says the new Miss California pictures look a little les. Hi, Arthur.
Hi, Steph.
Yes.
Steph.
Yes, dear.
You've got to give this woman a break, okay?
Who, Miss Homophobe California?
Yeah, she's in love, and we should just leave her alone. I mean, if you look at that picture of her with Miss Runner-Up,
Have you seen it?
She was probably just comforting her.
No, it was a little HLA, hot lesbian action.
I didn't see that. I've only seen the panty ones that are all over the internet.
Yeah. The one that is most shown is the one right before the decision is made, and she's there.
Well, they often cling to each other for comfort during that moment. As you know, it's very tense. As fourth runner-up in America's Junior Miss in 1979 in Lockport, New York, I can tell you. All right. They don't. You know what? No one pays attention to the fourth runner-up. They just shove you off the end of the stage.
But you were Miss Congeniality.
Yes, I was.
Were you really that congenial?
Yes, because I was ugly and the girls knew I wasn't going to win, so of course I was the most popular. All right, let's check some Celebrity Stack before we have lots to get to today. Celebrity Stack brought to you today by Andro App Block. Oops, I meant to do that.
Would it block crickets too?
It only blocks crickets. Ants. See, the crickets are fine.
Oh, okay.
Find out why Ant Block is better at baitisbetter.com.
Hooray!
Okay, then. All right. I can so relate to this. You know the big breaking celebrity news is that Sasha and Malia are slacking off on puppy duty.
Uh-oh.
What do I have this morning, Chris? What did I tell you? I have puppy fatigue like you wouldn't believe.
I'm sure you do.
I just rescued a puppy last week. Oliver! That's why God makes puppies cute. Because of the whole house training thing. By the way, I may devote the rest of the show, since Jim's not here, to house training tips. 1-800-STEPH-1-2. Because, I tried the crate for like a day and a half. I don't have the stomach for it. It's like Gitmo. He screamed relentlessly. Those breeders and people and rescue people, they lie to you. He loves the crate. They love it.
You're a lying sack of crap.
They don't love the crate. They
hate
the crate.
Sack of crap. You're a lying.
But it's a part of training.
Here's the problem. I've gotten so old. I've had a bunch of dogs. I haven't trained any of them. It all worked out fine.
No, it hasn't.
I don't remember how to do it anymore.
You can't have people over because your dogs will knock people over.
Oliver pooped in the wood pile yesterday in the living room. I have a little, fireplace, a wood pile. He pooped in the wood. I don't even know how.
Why do you have a wood pile when it's 95 degrees outside?
It's left over from the winter.
Okay.
Or what we call winter here in L.A.
Well, yeah.
Anyway,
it's down to 60 degrees. You got to build a fire.
He learned how to use the dog door the first day, but he doesn't get that. He's like, we can go anywhere. Outside's good, but inside, fine too. All right. I am with Sasha and Malia on this. I have puppy fatigue. I've been up all night for like the last week and a half.
Okay. Oh. We need to get you the dog whisperer.
Get me Cesar Millan. Okay. Anyway, parents everywhere take heart. Even the Obamas have trouble. See, he's the leader of the free world, and he can't. That's what I could have some kids to order around to take care of the puppy, but they won't do it. All right. Yeah, see, I can't even house train a puppy. What are the chances kids would listen to me?
No. Yeah, kids would not listen to you.
Even the Obamas have trouble getting their kids to keep all the promises made when begging for a pet. Michelle Obama said, I get up at 5:15 in the morning to walk my puppy, she said of Bo. Even though the kids are supposed to do a lot of the work, I'm still up at 5:15 a.m. taking my dog out. So for everyone who has a child asking for a puppy, you have to want the dog. See, now I feel better. 5:15.
Now,
the First Lady of the United States.
Are they having puppy remorse?
I am not having puppy remorse. I'm having puppy fatigue.
Yeah, but are the Obamas having puppy remorse?
I don't think so. There's no word on that.
All right.
By the way, have I mentioned that this dog is going to weigh 1,000 pounds? It is a, 11-week-old Tibetan Mastiff Great Pyrenees mix.
His paws must be the size of his head
at this point. Yeah, like oven mitts. Mm-hmm. So I have to make a little extra scratch, I think.
Hmm.
Tom Jones has just picked up $1.5 million along with Mariah Carey to sing for less than 1 hour.
Wait a minute. Tom Jones makes as much as Mariah Carey?
He picked up $1.5 million along with Mariah Carey. The pair will be paid the outrageous sum to open Turkey's $1.5 billion Mardan Palace. Can you get me in on that gig? I could tell a few fart jokes, something, couldn't I?
And then do a Q&A.
Yes!
Shh. What?
Don't give away my secret. When I'm asked to speak, I don't actually prepare a speech. I prepare like 5 minutes.
And then a Q&A.
And then I'm like, who has any questions? They love the Q&A, by the way. And then that chews up the rest of the time.
Boy, you work hard for your money.
Mm-hmm. Amy Winehouse got $2.5 million. What are the chances she'd even show up?
There are pretty much no chance that she'd show up.
To sing for 2 hours it's the Russians. We have to get me some wealthy Russians, by a Russian billionaire to open his girlfriend's art gallery. $2.5 million to sing for 2 hours. Christina Aguilera, $2.5 million to sing for a couple of hours at a Russian wedding. Why don't I know any Russians that will pay me like this? George Michael, he's probably in the bathroom half the night. He's $3 million for a New Year's Eve bash for a Russian.
$3 million?
For a Russian tycoon. Jennifer Lopez, $1.5 million for a birthday party for a Russian developer.
Well, you know, in order to get that kind of scratch from Russia, the people in Russia have to know who you are.
Well, what the hell? StephanieMiller.com goes everywhere.
Well, yeah,
let's
but
go.
We don't have an affiliate in Moscow.
I need kibble and box wine. All right. Mel Gibson's, speaking of Russian.
Oh, yes, he has a Russian lover.
She's pregnant.
Oh, boy.
Oh, dear.
Oh, dear.
According to the paper.
The National Enquirer?
Is there any other paper? By the way, you know, I was thinking yesterday, I was telling you that I never have time to get to my Newsweeks and Time magazines anymore.
Right.
You know why?
Why?
Because I'm reading the paper. I realize last night I'm dead tired, I have puppy fatigue. I should have been doing my show prep, and I'm like, what's Mel Gibson's girlfriend? Let me read about
Oprah has cellulite.
Oprah has 3 years to live?
What?
Oprah's going to have her thyroid out, apparently. I don't know. That's what the paper says.
Oh, no.
I don't know. Maybe she's been scooching her butt on the carpet like Oliver. I don't know. Something. I don't know if it's true, but that's what they're saying in the paper.
Why would scooching her butt on the carpet cause a thyroid problem?
It's a thyroid thing. Oh. Trust me on that. It's a puppy thing.
All right.
Okay. According to the National Enquirer, the Braveheart star sat his children down and announced that his girlfriend is 3 months pregnant. The two oldest boys are going to hire an attorney to protect their trust funds.
Right.
And insiders expect his estranged wife will seek more than half of Gibson's billion-dollar fortune. If pictures in the papers over the last several years are any indication, she's going to seek more than that.
Yeah.
She looks pissed. Every time I've seen her,
the lovely Mrs. Gibson.
Yes, the soon-to-be ex Mrs. Gibson does not look happy.
Computer says no.
Not at all.
Huh.
Interesting. He's a very devout Catholic, you know.
Yes, extra crispy bucket of Catholic.
Who is not a fan of the gays?
No,
because they are not proprietors of the family values. 20 minutes after the hour.
Mel Gibson not a big fan of the Jews either.
Imagine if the gay Jews.
The gay Jews.
Well, now, boy.
Whoa.
Hey.
Boy, baby.
All right, 20 minutes after the hour. Ha! Huh, in a completely unrelated story, you'll never guess which celebrity moms have voted most trustworthy with their kids.
Oh, boy. Okay.
20 minutes after the hour. Right back with all that as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Don't you wish your girlfriend was a freak like her? It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 25 minutes after the hour. I'm eating.
Yeah, you
1-800-
always shove something in your mouth right before you go on the air.
1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Let's go to Vitas in Tucson on Miss California. Hi, Vita. Am I saying that right?
It's Vitas.
Vitas. Hi, Vitas. Go ahead.
I think Miss California did hear God speaking. She was modeling lingerie, and a voice boomed out of the ceiling, take off your top. Nice boobies.
All right. Thank you, dear. That was a little impression of God there. More important, let's get some puppy house training tips from Mama. Let's go. John in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey, Mama, when I was training my puppy Buddy, who was a really hyperactive black lab border collie mix, they told me just make sure that you make a positive association with the crate. So all I was doing is loading up a Kong with peanut butter and putting it in there. And whenever I gave him a treat for a reward, just put the treat in there. And then he kind of associates it with an okay place. And one.
How soon did he have to have the quadruple bypass from the amount of peanut butter you were feeding him?
He hasn't had it yet, but he did get a little chunky, so I had to start walking him a little bit more. But,
extra chunky version of the Labrador. Uh-huh.
Yes. But when I would come home from work after I, you know, stopped needing to do that, you know, he'd just be laying in his crate sleeping with the door open. You know, so I'd just start walking around. Where are you? Where are you? Wondering what kind of trouble.
Yeah, I've tried this now. Right. I've tried this now 3 times with dogs. I've tried every. I know what you mean. I've tried that too. They just hate the crate. They shriek. He shrieks like a.
Like the dog next door, like Boy Band's dog.
I had a talking to Boy Band the other day.
Did you? What happened?
I had a confrontation with Boy Band.
What did you have? Oh, what did you say?
He was very nice. Here's the problem. I come all loaded for Bear because he has a screamy dog. You've heard that dog.
Yes.
And he's teaching my puppy to bark
scream
now.
Scream just like that?
Yes.
Ugh.
Which is going to be just a cacophony at some point.
Oh,
but
boy.
Anyway, here's what happens. I go over there loaded for Bear.
Yes.
He is a very famous Boy Band member. I can't say who.
Like
However, one of
the most famous.
Yes.
Yes.
However, last time I came over, I think he does this on purpose, he had no shirt on. And
as Boy Band members are wont to do. They wander around with no shirt on.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
And so I'll be like, you know, I need to...
Hello.
Anyway, and then he ends up being very nice. And he promised to keep the dog inside more and just let the dog out to whatever, or train him or something.
Whatever.
I don't remember what else he said. I was just looking at him when his lips moved. Okay.
Oh, my God.
Adam in Albany, you're on the...
such a whore.
You're just saying that to be nice. Adam in Albany.
Hi, Steph.
Hello.
I have two dachshund puppies, and we've been crate training them because they unleash unholy destruction whenever they're out of their crate and we're not in the home.
Right.
But hundreds of dollars of damage. So what we did is
we had treats.
That way we do the same thing. We would say, okay, go to your crate, and they'd go in their crate, and you give them the two little calorie treats.
Yeah.
And they're fine. And when we come home...
That didn't work for Oliver. I'm sorry. See, I'll have to ask a crate training question when we return. And John King from CNN, as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It is recommended only for adults and those broad-minded enough to enjoy the brightest, spiciest, and most uninhibited comedy in years.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 33 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. All right, so you mentioned I was on CNBC last night, and they asked me about the bank stress test, and I said...
What?
Didn't see that coming, and kind of above my pay grade. If only there was somebody that understood things like this. What? Who is it, Chris?
It's the anchor of State of the Union with John King. John King.
That guy knows everything. Good morning, John King.
Good morning, Stephanie Miller. How are you?
I'm fine. I'm happy to have you on. You know what? Also, I have a confession. I have a girl confession to make.
Okay, I'm ready.
Okay, it's good though I have you on the radio, because last time I ran into you in hair and makeup at CNN, I was distracted by your cleft chin and your long eyelashes.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I was just in L.A., and you have big, giant billboards all around the town. It's kind of scary.
Yes, it is, very.
The eyes follow you. Anyway, John, I enjoy your work, as you know. I had you on many times, but, you know, I was joking, but this economy, I always feel like you have to be some sort of financial expert to understand what's happening. Like, what does this mean, the bank stress test? What were we expecting, and did that happen or not?
But I think one thing we should make clear is even a lot of the experts, the honest ones, tell you they're not exactly sure what's happening.
Oh, and thank
so
God.
That's important for everybody to remember out there. It's an interesting world we live in when, whether it's the bank stress test or today's unemployment numbers, people are saying, well, it's not as bad as we thought it was going to be, therefore that's good news. That's essentially where we are at the bank stress test, in that some banks are going to still need help, meaning they don't have enough capital reserves to be in the lending business or to be financially secure, just like your own family budget. These banks don't have enough money in reserve in case something goes bad again over the next 6 or 9 months. It is better than people expected when they ordered up these tests a few months back, and so they're trying to tell us that we should be encouraged by that, just like they tell us we should be encouraged that fewer than 600,000 people lost their jobs last month, mm-hmm. and the unemployment rate only went up to 8.9%. I have a hard time with that math, but
right.
Allegedly what that means to us is that because there's a little less pain than expected now, in 2 or 3 months maybe, we will notice that we're actually going in the right direction.
Well, John, I want to get to the job numbers, but the stress test, is this what we were expecting? I know that Paul Krugman, among others, has said, oh, you know, they were floating this as trial balloons to see how it would go. I mean, we expected, obviously, the banks to need more money, right?
We expected the banks to need more money. One of the interesting things here is, for the most part, what people are saying is that they don't think there will be a need for a huge bucket of more taxpayer money. Mm-hmm. That in the banks that only need a modest, and we're still talking billions or hundreds of millions of dollars, so it's funny to use the term modest, but the banks that need a relatively, in their world, modest amount of money will be able to get it either through reissuing their own stocks, converting some stocks, getting some new private investment. So in terms of, you know, $750 billion and counting, or the taxpayer is going to be on the hook for more, the prognosis at the moment is maybe not, and if so, not so much.
Okay, so the stress is not as bad as we thought. I mean, that's it.
If you trust this, so one of the lessons we've learned over the last year is we get these reports from time to time and we think, okay, and then 3 months later we're back in the same
right.
mess. So, but let's as citizens be optimistic. Here.
Yeah, John, you mentioned jobless claims and all of that. I mean, maybe there is part of this that we really want good news at this point. But I mean, what you were talking about is new applications for jobless benefits plunged to the lowest level in 14 weeks, a possible sign that the massive layoffs have peaked. Still, the number of unemployed workers getting benefits climb to a new record. What does that mean?
Is that... Well, what that means is that there are still a lot of people losing their jobs, but that if 580-something thousand lost their jobs last month, and it was almost 700,000 the month before, again, the economists will tell you that's potentially a sign that fewer businesses are laying off people, or there are fewer mass layoffs. And unemployment is you know, a trailing indicator. So if General Motors or Chrysler start selling cars again, if retail stores start selling more products, if small manufacturers start selling things, the last thing they're going to do is hire people, because the first thing they do is sell what's in the
warehouse.
Right.
Well, that's the other part of the news, right, John, is that retail results improve, like Walmart and other stores reported sales figures that beat expectations, right? So that's
right.
a positive.
So there's a positive on one side, but then you see consumer credit problems on the other side. So we still have what I'll call the juggling mix of confusing indicators. And so it's hard to have a lot of confidence. If you do look at the unemployment numbers and the retail sales numbers, those are the big ticket things that generally tell you the state of the economy. And there are some reasons in the data over the past few days to say, I wouldn't use the word optimistic, but to say, you know, things do, there's a little bit of smoke there. Maybe we'll get fire.
Optimistic-tish. if that's even a word.
Yeah.
So the other big news yesterday, of course, the president announcing budget cuts. I mean, I'm not sure how you make the Republicans happy. They talk about out of control spending, which, you know, it seems like we have to do in this economy. And then he at least announces some budget cuts, and that's not enough, I guess.
It's not going to be enough because, as you know, the Republicans are saying that what we're getting here is big spending, tax and spend liberalism. And the challenge for the president, look, the amount of budget cuts he proposed are relatively modest. And what he will say is, sure, but it's a down payment. If you accept what the White House is saying, is you get a modest number of cuts here. The challenge for the president is, will he stand up to the Democrats? Because President Bush proposed a lot of these very cuts that President Obama is proposing now, and the Democrats in Congress said, take a hike, Mr. President. You know, that program's in my district, or that money creates jobs in my state. So one question is, even to get this modest amount as a down payment, will the president stand up to the Democrats? Or if they won't give him a program X, will he say, well, then you better match the money somewhere else in the budget? That's one challenge. The bigger thing is, you know, they're moving ahead with this procurement reform legislation that they say will save a lot of, you know, waste and abuse in government. That would be a second step. The way to prove this is to do several things. They're not going to convince whether it's a conservative Democrat or the more vocal Republican critics with just one thing. They're going to have to do many things over time. And, you know, welcome to Washington.
Yep, yeah, I hear what you're saying. Well, now, you know, the other thing that obviously the big news is this releasing people from Gitmo and where they go. What, I mean, obviously Holder said yesterday he's not going to release terrorists into neighborhoods in the U.S., but, you know, the implication seemed to be, which I think we've always known, is some of these people are not guilty, probably. What do we do with them?
Well, that's a great question. And some of them are not guilty, or at least there's not enough evidence to prove things. And so what do we do with them? And what the administration is saying is, look, that, you know, to get the Europeans to take some, to get other countries to take some, the United States is going to have to take some. And, you know, these Chinese, the Uyghurs will be the first ones released, probably into near where I live in Northern Virginia is one of the places where they say. And what the government says is they're no threat to the United States. They have no grievances, no gripes against the United States. They're not welcome back in China because they're viewed as dissidents and worse, terrorists. And so where do you put them? And then the question is, what do you do with the, that's the quote-unquote easy one. And then what do you do with some of these other guys? And, you know, a few communities in the United States have raised their hand saying we would build a prison because that would create jobs. Excuse me, there's a fire truck going.
I was just
going
to say, apparently there's some news happening right behind you, John.
No, it's just a normal city rush, I think.
If only there were a famous anchor there that could tell us what's going on.
It is the great, you know, it is the great not in my backyard scenario that happens on every issue, whether it's a power plant or whether it's, you know, or whether it's these prisoners. And it's going to be a huge political fight.
Well, you know, I think the question was often asked, you know, did George Bush really think he could just hold these people forever with no charges? And the answer is no, he didn't. He knew that this would end up on the next guy's watch to have to figure out.
I think there's a degree of truth to that. And there's also, look, remember, those criticizing the president are not just Republicans on this one, because it's David Obey, who's a pretty liberal, among the most liberal members of Congress, who said, I'm not going to give you your money to close Gitmo, Mr. President, until you can show me the plan of how you're going to deal with this. So this becomes literally the old cliche, all politics is local.
Yep.
When these guys are going home, House members, no matter what party they're in, they're getting asked, where are these guys going? Are they? I don't want them in my city.
Yep.
And so it's a tough one. And you're right. It is one of the items that President Bush left for President Obama to deal with, and this one's dicey.
Oh, he left so many delightful gifts, it's hard to decide which one is best. John King, speaking of local, you were out here in my hometown in Los Angeles recently, I understand, examining homelessness as it relates to the economy. I got one of those no-doc loans, and things not looking so good in the radio business. Will I be included in this, do you think, this special, or...?
I'll catch you on the next trip. It was an interesting couple of days. We're trying to look at the new face of homelessness. You know, all of us, and I don't mean to say anything that people will find cold, but all of us see the guy when we pull up to the red light who's been there for 2 months or 3 months or 6 months, and maybe he has some mental illness. And that's what we all associate with homelessness, the guy asking for a couple bucks at the red light. But increasingly, especially in the last 6 to 9 months, especially in a place like your state where you have high unemployment in the city, it's higher among Latinos and African Americans, you have foreclosure problems on top of that. And you now see women with two or three young children among the homeless out on the street. And so you have these, God bless these volunteers who go out every day looking for them, finding them under the bridge or in abandoned properties or sleeping in their cars. They try to get them a shower, maybe find them a room in the shelter. But a lot of these women work. They're not just people who've lost their jobs in the recession. A lot of them are people who their apartment building was foreclosed on, and they got kicked out because the owner had trouble with the bank and the like. And so you see these women with two or three children. They go to work every day. They drop their kids at school every day, but they don't have a home.
Wow.
And the city doesn't have the money for services because of the domino effect of the recession. And so it was a fascinating trip, and it's sad in many ways, but then you meet these people, and they say, you know, we're going to get through it. We're going to figure it out.
Wow. In the United States of America, that is really shocking. John, is that going to be airing soon? Are you?
That'll be on this Sunday. That'll be part of this Sunday show, State of the Union.
Cool.
Very early your time, Sunday morning, but I know you get up every Sunday.
I never miss you, John King.
I TiVo it, actually. Yeah.
Oh, you're a bigger suck-up than I am, Chris.
I do.
All right. John King, thank you so much. We always so appreciate your time.
Anytime. You guys take care.
See you on Sunday.
Yes.
All right. There he goes. John King from CNN.
Actually, it's a really good show.
Who does have the longest eyelashes I've ever seen on a man. He is dreamy in person. It's like Clarice from the Christmas special, the Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. They're that long. They're like awnings. And that, you just want to snuggle in that little cleft in his chin for hours.
Dana Bash gets that every
night.
She will
bitch slap me.
Yes, she will. They are very happily married.
That's what I understand.
Uh-huh.
All right. Isn't that great?
Yeah.
44 minutes.
You're so happy for him.
Mm. Mm-hmm. 44 minutes after the hour. You know what I did?
What?
I teased earlier and then I didn't deliver.
Well, of course you didn't. Mm. That's because you're a teasy McTeaserson.
I will tell you which celebrity moms trust their kids with most. Interesting connections to lots of things in the news. We'll tell you who that
really?
Is when we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh my, how ruthlessly absurd.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Yeah, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 49 minutes after the hour. An hour from now, we will be replaying the interview with the CEO of Ashley Madison, the dating service for people
yes.
who want to cheat on their spouses.
It really does open up a whole...
can of worms.
Yeah.
Somebody wrote me yesterday and said, I'm a single person that's grateful for this because she was tired of getting picked up by people that guys that kept saying they were single and weren't. And
right.
She said, let them go have their own place where they leave us single people alone. All right, 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. Back to the most important topic of the day.
Stephanie Miller.
Yes, and my puppy. Oliver! And the house training thing. Frank in Washington, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Frank.
Yes, we're a pet-centered family. We have 2 horses we rescued, 4 dogs we rescued, and 8 cats we rescued.
Ooh, all right, so I'm lagging behind. I have 2 rescue doggies. But I have to say, the crate training, first of all, explain crate training to me, because I don't get how that makes them get that you only go outside. You know what I'm saying? You still have to have them out in the house at some point, right? And then, because I have a dog door, so he knows how to use the dog door. I don't understand how the crate teaches them to only go outside.
Well, I don't think that's the purpose of the crate. The going outside thing is a whole different ball of wax. We were told on the last puppy we got, which we got only about 6 months ago, she loves the crate, which apparently was half the answer. She loves the crate and the barrel. She doesn't really like the dog crate.
That's my point, is they lie to you. Well, that's what I'm always told. Oh, they love the crate. I've never had a dog that doesn't shriek in the crate.
My sister's dog loves its crate.
Oh. All right, go ahead,
Frank. That's what happened when we bought the puppy home. I was actually on the road, but my wife brought the puppy home, put it in the crate the first night, and she said, and this is her quote, it screamed like somebody was beating a Ukrainian washerwoman. That's what it sounded like. For hours.
That's exactly what it sounds like. But see, here's what I've done.
3 nights in a row.
Yeah. Here's what I've done now. So then he stopped that, but see, I keep him in the kitchen because the dog door is in the kitchen. So he has the kitchen and the yard, which is. But now he's screaming because of separation anxiety, because I'm upstairs in bed.
Well, three nights of the washerwoman business, my wife finally called the rescue operation back, and they said, look, the weather's nice, put the crate in the car, put the dog in the car, close the door, go to bed, take the dog out of the crate the next morning. And I think the puppy, overheard the conversation.
Oh.
because all of a sudden, it was thrilled with being in the crate and not being in the car.
So I just need to have a threatening conversation in front of Oliver. All right, Frank, thank you for that puppy training tip. Okay.
Screamed like
a Ukrainian washerwoman being beaten. Ginny in Madison. Listen, puppy owners know what I'm talking about.
Whoa.
Ginny in Madison.
Hi there. Hi, Stephanie.
Hi.
So, all right. So I'm a positive reinforcement trainer.
Okay.
So I hopefully have some answers for you.
Listen, do you know how many times I've said good boy, potty outside, good boy? I've practically
so
French kissed the puppy
that.
When he goes outside, for God's sakes.
Right. So, all right, so you need to approach the problem from 2 angles. You want to manage and you also want to train. First, you need to manage, and that's where the crate comes in. But the problem with the crate is that you do need to train the crate. So everyone's told you to use a Kong, right?
A what?
A Kong full of peanut butter.
Oh, okay.
right?
Yeah.
But no, you don't need to do that. If you don't like that, it sounds like, you can also try putting them in the crate for 5 seconds. Don't close the door and then let them out right away.
Oh.
Yeah, have you tried that yet?
No.
Is that your dog screaming in the background as we speak?
Oh. I'm for the collies and they're clearing geese.
Oh, okay.
All right. Thank you, Jenny, for calling. I appreciate it. Somehow, I don't have a lot of confidence in her tips.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, that calling with the peanut butter makes him quiet as a mouse. What's that? What is that behind you? Is that a Ukrainian washerwoman?
Whenever Jazz acts up, I just put him in the bedroom. Mm. And then he goes to sleep.
Mm.
Yeah.
You tried spraying him with water for a while, didn't you?
Yeah, that didn't faze him.
No.
No.
Okay.
He's still...
That would just piss him off more, I would think.
Yeah, he's still, like, shredding my houseplants, though.
Hmm. So I guess I won't be coming to you for pet training tips.
No.
All right, let's finish up our celebrity stat. Michael Jackson's publicist. There's a job.
Good boy.
She's filed a $44 million lawsuit against him, claiming he has not paid her for deals she's made. Ramon Bain of Washington has been Jackson's spokeswoman for more than 5 years. That cannot be an easy job, particularly, you know, when he keeps opening his mouth. And oh, you know what I'm saying. When he keeps opening his mouth.
I am doing well and I am strong. As you may already know, after my tour ended, I remain out of the country undergoing treatment for a dependency on children all over the world. Ooh. There have been many disgusting statements made recently concerning allegations of improper conduct on my part. Mm-hmm. These statements about me are the truth. Mm. These statements about me are disgusting. These statements about me are totally the truth. Mm. I love you. I am God. I love you. I am God. Okay. I love children. I love thousands upon thousands of children to view and photograph my body, including my horrifying lower torso, ooh, thighs, and any other area that they wanted. I ask all of you to treat me like a criminal,
because
I am humiliating and disgusting.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. And then his spokeswoman says...
No, don't speak. Don't speak. Don't speak. No. Silence. Silence. Don't speak.
All right, here it is. Guess who moms... what celebrity moms trust the most with their kids?
Who?
Ellen DeGeneres!
Really?
Who is a lesbian? Ellen DeGeneres and her partner, Portia de Rossi.
Her wife.
Yeah, thank you. Yes. I'm sorry. They were married out here in California when it was legal.
That's right.
They topped a poll that asked American moms which celebrities they would feel most comfortable leaving their kids with. Let's see. They beat out Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt, who have 1,000. It's a parentdish.com poll of more than 10,000 moms.
Hmm.
She beat out, she and Portia de Rossi took 31% of the votes. Jennifer Aniston came in second at 22%. She has no kids, I don't know. Anyway, Jolie and Pitt got 18%, while Oprah Winfrey got just 9%. Take that, Oprah.
Oprah doesn't strike me as the type who would be the best mother in the world.
I said on CNBC last night that she is a bigger threat to America than Al-Qaeda. I'm hoping you get a
Oprah
little ink
is?
On that.
Mm-hmm. Why?
You didn't hear about the latest riot she caused? She gave out free coupons for free chicken at KFC and caused a riot, for God's sakes. They ran out of chicken. Oprah's favorite thing, the biggest threat to America. She has got to calm down.
Yes.
In a close battle for worst celebrity mom, rocker Courtney Love edged out Lindsay Lohan's mom and Britney Spears.
I think Lindsay Lohan's mom is the worst mother in the world. Absolute worst mother. And Tracy Ullman on this season of State of the Union.
There could be one more. This is another reason number 5,634, Christopher, why I don't have kids.
Mm-hmm.
I would be this mom in New York that left her kids on the curb. Did you hear about this story?
No.
Her kids were fighting in the car. Have you ever been with kids fighting in the car? I have. The suburban mother who ordered her bickering daughters out of the car and drove off without them said she made a mistake. A charge against her is likely to be dismissed. Madeline Primoff, she's a partner in a Manhattan law firm, touched off a national debate with many people calling her irresponsible, but admitting they've been tempted to do the same. The defense attorney said she intended to drive around the block and pick the girls up, but they were gone when she returned.
Ugh.
Most mothers questioned, sympathized with her situation, but disagreed with driving off. That'd be me. I'd be at the liquor barn. Be like, you work it out, I'll be back! 57 minutes after the hour. Speaking of which, the latest on the gay marriage debate as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's The Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. Happy Friday, 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. John King, you missed him already, but he'll be up on StephanieMiller.com after the show. John King from CNN, who was fabulous, as always. Mm-hmm. And joining us for the entire hour next hour, John Fugelsang, comedian extraordinaire, live in the studio.
That's right.
And let's see, later on this hour, we are going to replay the CEO of Ashley Madison, the dating service that caused quite the uproar yesterday.
That's right. And also, in about a half an hour, we're going to be talking to Representative Loretta Sanchez.
Yes, this just in, breaking news on the Stephanie Miller Show. Congresswoman Loretta Sanchez, lots of stuff going on in Washington. The president talking about budget cuts yesterday.
For every dollar we seek to save, there will be those who have an interest in seeing it spent. That's how unnecessary programs survive year after year. That's how budgets swell.
Okay, and as expected, the Republicans who've been screaming about generational theft
whatever.
And blah, blah, the deficits, this isn't good enough. Senator Judd Gregg.
It's like taking a teaspoon of water out of a bathtub while you keep the spigot on at full speed, and the bathtub continues to fill up. The spigot of spending.
Mm. Oh, good analogy.
Spigot of economic government growth.
That's eloquent.
Okay, thank you. All right, and facing dissent from some of his own party on the war funding, Representative Barbara Lee, Democrat of California, whom we know.
I'm especially troubled by the fact that the supplemental funds requested by the administration reflected in this supplemental bill really does favor the military and combat operations over the diplomatic development.
She does have a point.
Yeah, we got to, well, as John King said, there's just so many delightful gifts that George Bush left behind for President Obama, Afghanistan being one of them. Okay. All right. Oh, by the way, Robert Gates, give me that. Robert Gates, defense secretary, talking about the situation in Pakistan. Robert Gates, defense secretary.
I personally have been very satisfied with the strong response that the Pakistani government and army have taken.
All right. And Cynthia in Los Angeles on the economy and the war funding. Hey, Cynthia.
Hello. How are you, Stephanie?
Good. I have puppy fatigue, but go ahead.
Well, you know, I read an article that CNN reported in 2008 that over $100 billion were spent on private contractors in Iraq, such as Blackwater and Aegis.
Yep.
Yeah, they're overpaid. The prices that they're charging for their equipment and their services is completely overblown, extremely exaggerated if you compare it to market prices, which is a form of corruption.
Yep.
On top of that, there's like...
Yeah, no, exactly. I mean, it makes you even madder when you look at the state our economy is in. The money
exactly.
that we spent. Yep.
And on top of that, the U.S. government, a audit that they made, there were like $2 or $3 billion. This was like in 2007. $2 or $3 billion that could not be accounted for in Iraq.
And Cynthia, interesting when we're talking about all this bailout fatigue, which I understand, you know, but people screaming about how come we're giving taxpayer money to the banks, and you know, what about all the money we friggin' gave to Blackwater?
That kind of production. They say nothing about that kind of corruption. In addition to the fact, like a few months ago, I saw the governor, I can't remember if it was Connecticut or Pennsylvania, that said that there were over 100 bridges in her state that were declared in dangerous disrepair.
Yep.
We have no money to repair bridges or infrastructure in this country.
I don't know if you heard John King, he was just on from CNN, his special is coming up Sunday, but talking about in the United States of America, you know, women with two children here in L.A., have jobs, but they're homeless.
That's the human side of it, too. You know, and the infrastructure. I see the roads around where I live. They're all, you know, broken and torn. We keep getting into these prolonged wars with no clear purpose, because that's the purpose of not having...
I mean, I don't know if you heard him, but the number of women he was saying that he found, that they go to work, they take their kids to school, then they pick them up, they don't have a home, you know, and we have no money for services for that.
We can't even blame them anymore for being lazy. You know, they used to say, oh, they're lazy, that's why in the street. These women are working.
Yeah, absolutely.
And on top of the fact they're working, they can't even have a decent home.
That's right. All right. Okay. By the by, so Miss California...
Yeah, her.
Yes.
The one with the side boob.
There's a second side boob photo.
Is there?
Yes, a second racy lingerie photo
God
has emerged.
God likes the side boobs, apparently.
Apparently. The new image of her appeared yesterday on TheDirty.com, flying in the face of her assurances to pageant representatives that the earlier photo was the only one.
Yeah, that sounds like a breach of contract there. She
okay.
needs to have her crown stripped.
But we have some fun facts about where she may have gotten her thoughts on homosexuality.
Oh, really? Where?
From her mommy and daddy.
Oh, isn't that sweet?
There are a series of court documents that have emerged from her parents' messy, decade-long divorce proceeding.
So they got married in the eyes of the Lord and then spit in the Lord's eye by getting divorced.
That would be the sanctity of that marriage.
Yeah,
that
okay.
went on for a decade.
All right.
The papers dug up by TMZ.com showed that her parents flung a series of homosexual allegations against one another.
My God.
I guess that opposite marriage didn't work out so well. In one of the documents, her father describes a confrontation he had with her mother in which Ms. Prejean accused me in front of our daughter of homosexuality. Another excerpt quotes a court-appointed doctor, and I'm assuming these are just slurs. They were thrown about as if it were a slur, I guess, in the Prejean family. Another excerpt quotes a court-appointed doctor who said the mother questioned within hearing of the girls whether the father was a homosexual or had a homosexual roommate. The mother,
daddy's roommate? Really?
The mother also alleges the father told the girls their stepfather was gay, that all men with mustaches are gay.
Hmm? What? Tom Selleck would...
Some odd notions in that family. Prejean's father acknowledges talking with the girls about the stepfather's brother being gay, but not the stepfather.
Whatever.
Dear God. Okay. That's the way she was raised, you know. Okay. Meanwhile, she's been offered a porn deal. $1 million to star in one of Vivid Images' films there.
Yeah.
All right, could you take out your organ for me? Speaking of the
which one? I have four.
The gay marriage and the opposite marriage, the wedding organ.
Oh, wedding. Okay.
Sure. The recent run of states legalizing gay marriage, punctuated Wednesday by Maine becoming the fifth state to do so, has increased the likelihood that California voters will face another ballot member on the issue as early as next year, according to strategists on both sides. The California Supreme Court is expected to uphold Prop 8. Sadly. I heard a lawyer talking about this, that this is really more to do with a technical procedural. Yes. Is it a revision or is it an amendment? Or
right.
Whatever.
To me, it would seem like an amendment because it vastly changed the constitution of the state.
Anyway, a decision will be coming up in the next few weeks. Both sides already gearing up for another political campaign likely to come in 2010. Executive Director of the National Center for Lesbian Rights said there's no doubt we're witnessing an enormous and unprecedented sea change in both public opinion and momentum on the issue of marriage equality. I believe the electorate nationally and in California is in a different place when it comes to marriage equality than it was 6 months ago. I think that could be true. Frank Schumer, you know, we're supposed to be a progressive state, for God's sakes. California leads, we don't follow.
We got some...
Iowa. We got faced by Iowa.
We got some big red chunks of this state, you know.
Frank Schubert, who ran the Yes on 8 campaign in California, said the decisions in New England and Iowa gave same-sex marriage activists a boost. But he said the battle is far from over. Voters in Iowa and Maine might overturn those decisions. Helping to persuade them might be none other than Schubert himself, who's advising a national group on how to copy California's defeat of same-sex marriage. Can you imagine in this economy that's what you're putting your time and your energy into is taking away other people's rights? Like Marion Barry, by the way.
Him.
The bitches set him up once again, as we said, meaning the ministers, apparently. He was the sole vote against gay marriage in D.C. He is warning of a civil war over gay marriage. He was the only council member to vote against the bill to legalize same-sex marriage performed elsewhere. Predicted there will be a civil war in D.C. if they decide to take up the broader gay marriage bill this year. He said all hell is going to break loose. We may have a civil war. The black community is adamant against this. Barry made his remarks a few hours after.
Does he speak for the entire black community of D.C.?
I don't know. A group of same-sex marriage opponents led by black ministers caused an uproar in the Wilson building after the council voted. They had to be cleared by security guards and police. He said, what you've got to understand is 98% of my constituents are black, and we don't have but a handful of openly gay residents. So there, once again, you go with the tyranny of the majority. Isn't that what he's talking about?
There's
not enough of them to stand up for their rights.
That's a huge assumption that he's making, that black constituents are against gay marriage.
That's what I'm saying. Here we are pitting groups against each other again, like they tried to do out here in California. You know, it's just, ugh. All right, Vincent in Los Angeles on gay marriage. Hi, Vincent.
Hello, Stephanie. Hello. I'd like to challenge you guys to...
A duel?
No, not a duel. Oh. To check yourselves in a sense to see if you might not be inconsistent in an area here.
Okay.
But let me preface this by saying that I identify myself as a Christian that believe in some rigid Christian rules concerning marriage and divorce. I believe in marriage between a man and a woman only, but I believe that gays have their rights. I believe
gays have their rights to what?
To
exist?
Their civil rights. I don't believe this, that just because you're gay that your other morals are out of the window, that you are a cheater or you don't have you don't believe in education or disassociating gayness with bestiality.
You don't think that gays are necessarily immoral?
Correct.
Okay.
I just believe the Bible teaches, like, I don't believe that divorce is taught in the Bible. I believe divorce destroys more lives than
gays.
I believe that when they go and say, oh, you don't want to see a man with a child with two.
Yes. So why don't we make a divorce illegal?
Exactly, you know, and I, like that, what I would say, I would be strict like that. I'm not even for making it illegal. I'm just saying that I think it's a bigger problem than it's destroyed more families than the gay agenda. But here's the inconsistency.
Oh, okay. Here's the part where you're gonna show us what for. Go ahead.
No. And I agree with the that they have the right, but it's the Michael Jackson. I believe Michael. You play these segments on Michael Jackson. And you insert him saying something that he's really not saying and trying to say like.
Yes, that was a little comedy skit.
Comedy skit, but
that was a little internal edit there.
Yeah, now he's like of a different lifestyle, likes the gays. Now, Michael,
Jackson's not gay, as far as we know.
No, but you're
that's not what he was accused of.
Yeah, you're suggesting that he's a pedophile. That
yes,
he's into
I am suggesting that. I'm suggesting that there is some evidence that may be the case.
Okay, and then I watched the trial,
So you think he is not guilty?
Right, I believe.
Okay.
From what they seen on the trial, I thought it was a travesty. It was a joke. If you actually watched it, I watched it daily. Uh-huh. You know, they did the recap of it.
Okay. All right. So you think he's innocent? That's fine. You have a right to think that, and I have a right to think.
Computer says yeah.
I was really hoping that Vincent wouldn't equate being gay with being a pedophile.
I think that's what he was doing.
Yeah, I was waiting for that, but he wouldn't get to his point enough.
More importantly, let's get to my puppy training. Sean in Orlando, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Good morning. Something important now, right?
Yes.
And now back to me. What do you think about me and my puppy?
I love you and your puppy, too.
Thank you.
I wanted to let you know the purpose of crate training is that for some reason puppies don't like to sleep in their own poop.
Oh.
So by confining them in a small space, it literally...
No, he prefers to poop right now somewhere where I can sleep in it. That's what's happening now.
But by putting them in the crate...
You sleep in the wood pile?
It literally teaches them to control their bowels and their bladder.
I have a dog door. Here's what I'm asking. Because I have a couple friends that said the same thing, that they don't like crate training. They've never done it either. Is that the only solution? If I have a dog door and he knows how to use it, isn't that better to just train him right away to go outside?
No, but he doesn't know to go outside. Right now, he's once he feels the need to go, he's just going to go. So you put him in the crate. When you get home, immediately take him outside. That's the thing, is when you get take him out of the crate, immediately go outside.
Well, see, if you listen to the show, Sean, you know that I'm an elderly shut-in, so I'm home most of the day. I work from home. I mean, that's what, you know, I'm only here 3 hours and I work from home. So that's what I mean. I don't want to leave him in the crate all day. What do I do?
You bite the bullet, leave him in the crate for a few weeks. And do it. That's just the only way.
Just put up with the shrieking? Is that what you're saying?
I just wanted to let you know why.
All right. Okay. Thank you. I'm taking all... See, I haven't had no sleep, Chris. I'm taking everything out on him.
Yeah.
Like he invented crate trading. Okay.
Well, you're taking everything out on Boy Band, too. At least until he takes his shirt off.
All right. Yes, I had a little spat with my neighbor. I've had a couple extra bowls of bitchy this week. That's what happened here. All right. 20 minutes after the hour, President Obama ordered, of course, a slew of those budget cuts. How much and how is the right reacting? We will tell you all that as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
The following program is closed captioned for the thinking impaired.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
this is the story.
Stephanie Miller.
Nasty dog.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 25 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Eric in D.C. on the gay marriage bill there. Hello, Eric.
Hello. How you guys doing?
Good. Go ahead.
Love the show.
Thank
hey,
you.
I just wanted to say in the protest down at City Hall the other day here in D.C., those ministers that were protesting, the vast majority of them were not even from D.C. They're from Prince George's County, from megachurches.
Hello. It's like out here in California.
Right.
It's all like the Mormons and people that have nothing to do with our state. You
yeah,
know?
Exactly. They have the megachurches like you have where there's like 5,000, 6,000 people, mostly an older congregation. And one of the things that people are outraged about is the fact that we have a terrible murder rate here. We mm-hmm. have violence. We have awful schools. And the ministers are outraged because two people who love each other would like to get married.
I know. That's what I'm saying, Eric. And, you know, with the state of our economy and our health care system, it just really is stunning to me that, you know, and plus they keep getting their church in my state. This has
exactly.
nothing to do with making churches do anything or making
right.
you believe anything. It's about giving people civil rights under the law.
And one quick note about Mayor Fenty said something wonderful yesterday. He went on and supported gay marriage 100%, the mayor of D.C., and he also compared it to the fight in the 50s and 60s when people said black people and white people shouldn't be married, the same time that Marion Barry was out protesting. He was a great leader in the civil rights movement. I really think the mayor has lost it a bit.
Yeah. I wonder what substance could be causing that.
Yeah.
Tom in Los Angeles, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hi, Stephanie. I just have 2 points, if I can.
Yep.
One is, I just think here in California, we should get rid of all of these propositions.
I completely agree with you.
I know. It's like taking a term paper going to the voting booth out here.
It's not a democratic republic form of government like like our country was founded upon.
Exactly, Chris. I mean, we hire our representatives for a reason.
To make decisions for us.
All we get is we have to be voting on individual propositions, and I say we don't need our senators.
Right. Well, you know, and we said this during the Prop 8 debate. Like, you know, can you imagine if they put slavery to a vote in the South? It's like this, the people want it. It's like, okay. Robin Inglewood on the gay marriage proposition as well. Hey, Rob, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Real quick, honey, go ahead.
Yeah, I think I just want to basically echo the assessment of the last caller in terms of the issue of gay marriage, and especially in the black community, because I remember that in going through South L.A. and the other black communities, it's like a lot of people are against the proposition. And it's really interesting because a lot of people in the black community, they kind of echo the same sentiments which you hear from a lot of these Mormon preachers and stuff about the Bible, about
how... Yep, all right, we'll talk more about that and Congresswoman Loretta Sanchez after the break on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I know better. I swear she was mental.
I must say I am mental. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 33 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. You know, it's Friday, Chris.
Yes.
And Fridays, anything can happen around here. It gets crazy. It's a party. You never know what. Who is it, Chris?
It's comedian John Fugelsang.
What, John Fugelsang?
Hello, Steffers.
He's the party guest that's here like an hour early. But
yes, and we love him for that.
And we love you for that. Jim Ward is out sick today. Thank you for coming, honey.
I'm delighted to be here.
We have so much to talk about, you know, and that's the other thing is you never know who's going to call when you... What? Who is it, Chris?
Congresswoman Loretta Sanchez from out here in California.
One of our personal favorites. Good morning, Congresswoman.
Good morning.
How have you been?
I have been so busy back in Washington, D.C., trying to fix everything that President Bush did.
Yeah, thanks. Exactly.
Exactly. We're just up to our, eyeballs and problems, and we're trying to fix them, and actually some things are beginning to work, so...
Well, that's what I was going to say. I mean, you know, we got some, positive indicators today, didn't we, in terms of jobs and retail spending, retail, yeah.
We have. I mean, overall, the International Monetary Fund and the World Bank and others are saying that there's still going to be a recession this year in the world, which is the first time, you know, that the gross domestic product or the output of the world is lower than since World War II. They're claiming that the U.S. is going to be, you know, down by 2 to 3%. And I still think we're in a recession, but we're beginning to see little pieces of bright lights out there. You know, the credit markets are beginning to stabilize a little. Some people are beginning to get some loans. Consumer confidence is creeping up just a tiny bit. It's not anywhere where it needs to be. The retail sales and the manufacturers are no longer posting incredibly steep declines. I mean, they're still posting some declines, but not the way they were. Mm-hmm. And, of course, we're seeing the market, the housing market, which began this whole thing, begin in a sense to stabilize. I was talking to some real estate agents the other day, and they said they're getting, you know, 20 offers, multiple offers on homes.
I read that, Congresswoman Sanchez, in the LA Times the other day. They were saying, you know, for all the talk of this housing crisis, they were talking about one house in Eagle Rock that got 80 offers. You know,
well,
so
you know what is happening is that the prices, finally, the homeowners are either finding that they've got to lower their prices and then they'll get some bids, and they're actually being bid up maybe $20,000 or $30,000 in some cases because of multiple bids. But more importantly, you're just seeing a whole bunch of those foreclosure homes are starting to, you know, banks are trying to get them off their balance sheets, and so they're going at, I have to tell you, in Orange County, between 30 and 50% of what they were going 3 years ago at the height of the market in June of 06, I think it was at that time.
What now? In the bank stress test yesterday, I think went, I'm told, better than expected, but I have no idea what I'm talking about. Can you explain to us what happened?
We all are trying to figure out what better than expected means. In other words, all of those banks, the 19 or 20 or so that were looked at, actually were better than expected, were not failing. There seems to be a few of them that, according to the stress test that they use, which, you know, we're all having a little bit, we're all new to it, and they're not disclosing as much as we would like. But there seems to be that there may be some who will need additional money reserves, but pretty much they were better than we expected. And you have to understand why. As much criticism as the Congress has gotten because the Congress and the President, because we put so much money out there, we did that $800 billion Recovery Act, which, by the way, is now hitting people. You're seeing the teachers, a lot of them not being laid off or, you know, retracting the pink slips. I mean, when a nation dismisses its teachers, you're in real trouble. And so when you look at the recovery package and you see the monies that we put out for teachers, you see the emergency monies we put out for unemployment benefits for people who didn't have a job, for food stamps for people who needed to eat, mm-hmm. when you see the stimulus effect of now construction beginning to take a hold, I think overall, I mean, I had a really hard time voting for that package. I did, but we're beginning to see the effects of it, and I think this is why you're seeing a little bit better consumer confidence, etc.
Right.
But why are the banks, why did the banks not fail the way some thought they would? Well, the Federal Reserve and the U.S. Treasury has pumped out even more availability of money to these banks. Almost, I would say, between the two of those, almost $3 trillion out there. And that was my question to Greenspan mm-hmm. this week. When he, I'm sorry, not Greenspan, Bernanke this week.
Yeah.
When he was before my committee, was, how are you going to handle the amount of access you've had for cash? How are you going to bring it in so that when we need to, that there's not inflation going on?
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to be the real trick because of that money out there.
So, you know, the Republicans have been suddenly very concerned about the deficits that they helped create under George Bush. But
the
president now is asking for $17 billion in budget cuts, and they're basically saying that's not enough.
Well, first of all, let me tell you, they have no ground to stand on. For the 8 years that they controlled the Congress and the presidency, they did nothing but cut revenues. That meant they gave all the tax cuts to the very wealthy, by the way. They cut the revenues. They not only kept spending at the amount they were spending, they spent over that amount. And it just didn't have to be do with the war. It didn't have to do with Katrina. That was part of it. But they just had their pet projects that they funded. And they continued to spend and spend and spend. And guess what? Now you have a president who says, hey, you know, not only does the Fed and the Treasury have to figure out how to bring that money in a way that doesn't create inflation, but we have to figure out what needs to be cut out of this budget, and we're going to make the tough decisions. And let me tell you, they are tough. When I have a president who tells me, you know, the F-22 program for defense, which is a high-altitude fighter, stealth sort of an airplane, we may have to cut that line. I mean, that hurts because it's a lot of jobs here in California. But when he says to me, you know, well, Loretta, it might have to be that, or maybe it's the C-17, which is the cargo plane we use, and I know we need the cargo plane. Those are jobs in California. I mean, he's sitting there saying they're real decisions. We can't have all the toys. We have to decide.
Yeah, he said, I mean, none of this is going to be easy amid the economic slump. But anyway, Congresswoman, real quick before you go, so Eric Holder said yesterday we're not going to release terrorists from Gitmo into neighborhoods in the U.S., but, you know, it seems like implied in there is that clearly some of the people there aren't terrorists, and what do we do with them?
Well, this has always been the problem. I mean, we initially started with over 600 people at Gitmo. We have now about 230 or so. Those who have papers from other countries and, you know, European countries, for example, I've been working this issue very hard with my European counterparts since last summer, and we finally got them to say, yes, we'll take a look at taking some of these people back, putting them either in prison or releasing them or putting an ankle bracelet on them for the rest of their lives. So some, they're taking that up. But there are clearly some terrorists that we have that if we release them back to their home countries, they will be killed or what have you. We don't know that they're terrorists. And by the way,
right, some may have been just turned in by someone that hated them. Yeah,
exactly. We don't have enough information. We certainly don't have enough criminal evidence to even try them. So this is a problem. But
another lovely gift left to us by George Bush, right?
Exactly. But I would find it very difficult for us as a nation to decide to bring them back into the continental United States. Yeah. I just don't believe that that will happen. So it continues to be a problem. That's why the president said, I'm going to close down Gitmo, but I'm going to need a year's time to figure out all this mess and what we do with some of these people.
I think we should give them to Bob Dornan. He's got a lot of free time on his hands. He could. Just an idea. All right, Congresswoman Loretta Sanchez, thanks so much for taking time for us, as always.
Thanks, Stephanie.
All
my
right.
Pleasure.
B1 Bob.
Yeah.
Let him supervise for a while. All right. John Fugelsang, we're so happy you're here. We have so much to get to, including the CEO of Ashley Madison. Have you heard of this?
I have not.
This is the dating service for people that want to cheat on their spouses.
Oh, of course. Yes.
Yeah.
We are a Christian nation.
Right. Back with that and John Fugelsang's thoughts on it as we continue.
That's
on.
That's where John and Kate guy went, right?
Yes. Right. Now it's John and Kate plus 9.
Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I don't get it.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 47 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Oh, here it comes, Chris. Margaret and Madison, I'd like to register my disgust and grave disappointment in your choice to accept advertising from Andro Ant Block. Why do you hate the ant community? What moral standards can you have that you openly support ant regicide? Even the queen, indeed. Harumph. All right, I'm off to find a married man. All right. Who is it, Chris?
The CEO of AshleyMadison.com, Noel Biederman.
Oh, slowly I turned.
Good morning, Noel.
That was a great introduction.
You're probably used to being introduced.
with royalty behind me. Yeah, not often, but I appreciate it.
Yes. Now, well, I have to say, you have taken your knocks. You've been on Larry King and The View and Nightline, and I mean, obviously, you know what you're doing is really controversial.
Yeah, for sure it is. Listen, I'm perfectly aware that, you know, the foundation of the American family is matrimony, and people think that I'm causing an affront to that institution. And I guess, you know, my perspective is I didn't invent infidelity. Ashley Masson didn't invent infidelity. And so I'm trying to just create a community where people who are engaged in that behavior can do it safely and securely.
Well, okay. I actually have a computer question on that, because I know some people have asked, what if your database gets hacked into? Then it's not discreet, right?
Yeah, sure. I mean, that's what if a bank's database gets hacked into, or a credit card? You can say that about anything on the planet. So obviously most companies work really hard to create the right security and put their servers in places where that can't or doesn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
8 years and no such issue.
What? So morally speaking, first of all, I have to ask, what does the lovely Mrs. Biederman think of this?
You know, my wife is a cheerleader for me in business. She knows that there's a huge difference between my business life and my personal life. I'm home for dinner every single night. I'm a very dedicated parent and partner. And, you know, so that's how she judges me on the personal front. And I guess on the professional one, as long as I'm feeling engaged and challenged and enjoying my work, I guess she's happy for me.
But for people that just tuned in, Ashley Madison is a dating service for people who want to cheat, basically, on their spouses?
Correct.
Or even if they're just, say, living together or that sort of thing?
Yeah, if you're attached, you know, uh-huh. we don't make that distinction. And there are single people on their site. There's that quintessential mistress is on our service as well.
So you don't have any moral qualms about this, that you're sort of promoting infidelity?
That word is a challenging one for me, because, you know, the basis is very subjective. And I guess I would say, if everyone thinks it's so immoral, then why are so many people engaging in it? I think what I'm the kind of person who says, you know, let adults be adults. They don't need to be legislating their behavior. If they want to drink, that's their prerogative. That product will kill 80,000 Americans this year alone. And I'm
right.
Not one to stop people from doing that.
Well, listen, it's a free country, and as you know, I'm happy to take your money for ads.
Thank you for doing that.
And I was saying, this does give me the only opportunity to beat up on an advertiser, or normally I have
Correct.
To be the biggest suck-up ever.
Yeah, you do not have to do that with me. Do not worry about that.
And if I wanted to kiss your ass anyway, your service would make me pay for it, I think.
Yeah.
But, all right.
That's $49.
Noel, here's the thing maybe I'm not getting, is why do you need a service to cheat? How does this help you cheat more discreetly or whatever?
The whole business grew up out of the notion. A lot of people looked at online dating and said, wow, what a great profitable space. I'm going to start a dating site for divorcees or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
The data I found most interesting was that 30% of people going to these so-called singles dating sites were lying. They were attached.
Mm.
They were in marriages or in relationships and were going to unsuspecting singles and posing as single. And I said, wouldn't these people, A, prefer to not have to lie about that and say, I'm attached but not looking to leave my partnership, just looking for some sex? And two, weren't they predisposed to fork over a credit card? And so here we are 8 years later, 3.8 million members later, tens of millions of dollars
later,
I was right on the money. So that's why I built the service.
So you look at this just as a business thing. You're
100%.
Like, I'm finding myself oddly, and I know this is a sliding moral scale, but I see what you're saying, that it, you know, at least people are being open about it, rather, because it seems like a lot of the pain does come from people lying, telling someone they're married or, you know.
I am cannibalizing an existing human behavior. The majority of affairs happen in the workplace, and that's potentially destructive. We were talking before about discretion. If you have an affair in the workplace, feelings are going to get involved. Someone's going to lose their job. It's going to end badly. Having an affair with someone on a singles date and lying to them, you're putting yourself out there in risk. Going on a place like Craigslist and soliciting a prostitute, we've seen that it can actually end tragically. So ultimately, you're not going to stop human nature. Your DNA is your DNA, and your DNA says to you every single day, whether we like it or not, don't be monogamous. So we have to fight against this. And a lot of people just don't succeed in that. And so if you're going to have an affair, go to a community like Ashley Madison where it's safe and secure and you're not going to run into those same kind of issues.
Given what you do for a living, would it be impolite for me to ask, have you ever cheated on Mrs. Biederman?
I've never cheated on her. I guess I'm like the ice cream vendor who every single day is, you know,
fishing out ice cream. You don't need the ice cream, yeah.
So I'm
diabetic ice cream vendor.
I'm probably the guy most conscious about or, you know, infidelity and what it takes to have a healthy relationship. But I'm also only 7 or 8 years into my marriage. Maybe let's have a conversation in another 5. Who knows? I don't know. Well, I know I'm human, and I know humans are very susceptible to changing.
No, you know, I guess the most recent example that we've seen, though, is Elizabeth Edwards. I don't know if you've watched her on TV.
I mean, I did,
you know, you see the pain that infidelity causes, and you just don't, you don't feel any...
Well, what I would say is a couple of things.
Pangs, let me say.
We all judged her husband really harshly, in the media in particular, but yet she has found a way to forgive him, at least to a degree. They're still together, correct? And we're also not there. We don't know what happens when, you know, behind closed doors. And so we can sit there and say, oh, how wrong, how wrong, how wrong. But what if they didn't have any sexual intimacy anymore? What is a person supposed to do in that instance? It really seems to me to be harsh to say, well, just leave your marriage. I know that's what a lot of people do, and they think that's the right thing to do, but there's a lot of, you know, adverse effects to that. There's a lot of collateral damage from a divorce. And so sometimes, from my perspective, and I look at cultures like that in Japan or in France or in Italy, have much higher reported rates of infidelity and much lower rates of divorce, and I wonder if maybe that is in a healthier paradigm.
Well, and here's the thing. I'm just a single loser. But here's, I guess, the question I always wonder is, why do people want to be married if they want to cheat?
I think we all get into marriage with the best of intents. But you can look at, for example, the swinging community. I don't think a lot of people say, hey, let's get married and we're going to be swingers. I think what happens is you get married and life makes a liar out of you. It changes you. It changes your perceptions and things change. Family, kids, obligations, stress, whatever it ends up being. Now, some people are really courageous and they go to their partners and say, listen, this isn't working for me. We need to try this, do that. And their partners agree or they work through it or they open up their marriage to new things. But most people are terrified of that conversation, terrified of the repercussions. And so do it behind their partner's back. Mm. And so that's just the reality of life.
Well, that's what I'm saying. But, you know, you say, oh, my service exists for people that don't want to lie. But there is lying. They're lying to their spouse,
they're
obviously.
Lying,
they're
yeah.
not saying, oh, honey, could you get off the computer? I have to get on Ashley Madison.
Yeah.
What I'm
saying is the service is not about, you know, being deceitful to your partner. Because, yes, we're not an open service for swingers. This is for people who are trying to, you know, have an affair behind their partner's back. What I'm saying is, they can at least be honest within that community, which is, I'm just here for sex. I'm just here for whatever limited purpose I'm here. Some people might be there for more, or some people may expect that they're just there for sex and find more. That can, of course, happen when you deal with human emotions. But ultimately, that's the platform I build, where someone can say, this is self-published, this is who I am, this is what I want, this is what I need, and that's what's unique about Ashley Madison.
So I take it you don't send emails from so that spouses can, you don't send, like, you know, automatic reminders or anything from the site.
Everything is discreet. When they sign up, I don't even know who my members are. If you sign up today, you'd create a username, I don't even know who you are, right? So people ask me all the time, are celebrities on? Are these? I would have no idea. I assume because we touch so many people, there's all sorts of walks of life on there, but I have no idea who joins my service.
Hmm. I you know, given just everything in the news lately, I have to ask you your thoughts on gay marriage, which, of course, is sweet. The country.
Yes,
and so many people moralize about so many things.
Yeah, and back to my original point, like, I don't see any problem with it whatsoever, right? To me, if you're an adult and that's what makes you happy in life, that's awesome. That's great. You should have that right. You should get married. And I think the people, the Puritans who want to look at marriage, there's only one type of marriage between a man and a woman, and that's the only kind of marriage, and it's a monogamous one at that. I mean, that's their opinion, and they're entitled to their own opinion, but they shouldn't force that opinion on everybody else.
All right, that's enough.
Wow.
Him now. John Fugelsang, comedian extraordinaire, has had a number of hilarious thoughts about this.
Oh, it's a lovely sin. You know, it really is. I mean, first off, if you've accepted wedding gifts and sworn an oath in front of the people that you love, to, mm-hmm. you know, monogamy is not natural in humans. It's not popular to admit, but there's only 6 species of mammal that mm-hmm. naturally mate for life. Foxes, wolves, elephants, shrews, beavers, gibbons, and the dick-dick.
He said beaver.
He said dick-dick, too.
Indeed, I did. That's why you can't teach this in public school.
Yeah.
And humans are the one species of mammal that mate for life by choice against their nature and then go through all kind of torment and guilt and confusion when it's hard to pull off. But that doesn't make it right to go doing this. If you're going to cheat, you have to give your wedding gifts back because you accepted them.
John Fugelsang says you could whoever you want, but the Cuisinart comes back.
Exactly right.
All right. 57 minutes after the hour, back with more of John's thoughts on the Ashley Madison and much more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. Happy Friday. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Congresswoman Maxine Waters coming up in hour two on Monday. Don't miss that. She's because what's my favorite thing you say to me, entertainment-wise?
Oh, my God. Turn on CNN. Maxine Waters is mad at somebody.
Right. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice D&E Jim Ward, who was out sick today. John Fugelsang, in his absence, comedian extraordinaire,
That's with us for the hour.
Oh, I was enjoying the Ashley Madison interview with Noel Biederman. I want to meet Mrs. Biederman.
He says you could take good care of Mrs.
Biederman. Mrs. Biederman, I'll take good care of you. You got all your right. man over at work all day facilitating adulterous behaviors? Baby, you're all alone. Who's minding the front desk of this hotel? Why don't you come over here and let's serve your husband a nice big karma smoothie to suck down.
All right, we'll be back with more of John's thoughts on the Ashley Madison interview and much more. StephanieMiller.com, Mama's appearance on CNBC is up there.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
The Caucasian News and Business Channel?
Yes. Yes.
I think you were on with All Caucasians yesterday.
I didn't even know whose show it was or what their names were.
I worked on that channel for a year on two series, and honestly, the racial tension just got to me. Awful.
I worked on that channel for a year, too. I did a hard time. I co-hosted with Babe Buchanan,
I co-hosted with John McEnroe. Let's
really?
Scars.
Oh,
yes,
boy.
I did.
Babe did that thing to me once that John did in the commercial. He threw she threw a tennis ball at me across the parking lot.
Yeah, but the sad thing is she was in D.C. and you were here.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So she's got a good arm.
A great arm.
All right. By the way, did I mention we are coming to you live from California, where we are en fuego? I don't know if know, but exactly. We got some fire.
Yes, we do.
Up in Demzar Hills near Santa Barbara.
Yeah, Santa Barbara. There are fires breaking out all over the place. There was one in Yucaipa. There's one, I think, down in San Diego County now. Yeah.
More than 1,400 firefighters. We're battling the blaze, and 10 have been injured, according to the governor, and I am available to, swab them, help them with their wounds.
Mm.
Is it technically cheating with a fireman? I don't think so. I think all women are allowed a fireman, don't you think?
No, my dad was a fireman.
Yes.
No.
It doesn't count. We all have the fireman fantasy. And that's why they are today. California firefighters, today's.
I only have the fireman calendar.
They are today's Everyday Heroes, brought to you by Intercontinental Hotels.
That's right.
Visit getafreenight.com for a free offer at over 4,000 hotels. California firefighters are everyday heroes today.
That's right. And we love them for it. You know, my mom bagged herself a fireman.
Yes.
And you can't.
I don't want to talk about your parents. Let's talk about John Fugelsang. We run ads for Ashley Madison, so we've taken a lot of heat for that. We had the CEO on because I don't approve of what he does, but it's a free country, and I'll take his money. I will cash his checks.
It sounds better than homewreckers.com, too.
Yes.
It's very tasteful.
Exactly.
Well, you know what? The interesting thing about this is the same chapter in the Bible that says same-sex relationships are a sin also says that adultery is a sin punished by death.
Right.
Adultery including divorce and remarriage, which means if you really believe being gay is evil, you owe it to God to kill Rush Limbaugh 3 times.
That's right.
The Stephanie Miller Show does not encourage that.
We don't encourage.
Yes, we do.
John Fugelsang is a comedian, and we can't control him.
Strictly a fanciful jest. Yes, legal department says.
We were also saying, you know, one of the things I should have asked him, I forgot to ask him, is you wonder how many people are going on looking for a same-sex relationship with somebody.
Same-sex affair.
How many married people are going on there? Because that also can be prevalent. It's
getting some
people.
On the DL, on the down low.
Well, that's huge. I mean, I tell women, if you want to know how depraved men are, just go on Craigslist and look for men looking for men in any city. I mean, you know, half of it's Mitt Romney still.
I once again think that is not true, young man.
No, I'm starting the Mitt Romney's gay rumor. I'm calling him Catcher's Mitt.
And there were way more guys looking for other guys during the Republican National Convention in Minneapolis than there were in Denver.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you were talking about a website, a lot of women looking for, they don't think, consider it cheating on their husband if it's with another woman.
Yeah, the Bliss Warrior website, which is for bisexual women, the number one letter, I was talking to the Bliss Warrior, who said the number one letter she gets is women who want absolution to cheat on their husbands with other women.
Wow.
I don't want to know that's okay.
That must disgust you, and you don't want to hear any more about that, do you, John Fugelsang?
Well, it's interesting, because the Bible does say men with men is a sin, but nothing about women with women.
That's
and
right.
Who knew the Old Testament
like Bill Maher
and vivid
always,
video of the same policy?
Bill Maher always says, when we say we're against gay marriage, we don't mean the girls. Sullivan in Chicago on gay marriage. You're on with John Fugelsang. Hey, Sullivan.
Hi, yeah. I'm calling about the Marion Barry thing.
Yes.
I'm a black lesbian, and I live in D.C. actually 6 years. I live in Chicago now.
Oh, but I hope you get the Supreme Court nomination.
Oh, well, I sent in a letter to Obama. I don't know if he got it or not. But
okay.
Make it to his desk. But I cringe every time I hear someone claiming to speak for the black community regarding homophobia.
Mm-hmm.
Because in D.C. there's a very large, vibrant, black queer community, and Marion Barry, the idea that a dinosaur like Marion Barry could somehow speak for the diversity of blacks in D.C. period.
Yeah, that would creep me out. That would creep me out if Marion Barry were speaking for my moral values, yeah.
Well, it's disgusting, and I think that we need to move beyond the idea that anyone could speak for the black community, particularly just because we're from the civil rights movement. And I remember Douglas Vaughter after Obama got elected, he said he liberated because finally we could move beyond the period of black politics where you had civil rights people claiming that they spoke for the entire black community. That there's a diversity of ways to do politics in the black community.
I hear you. Yeah, it does. It paints the whole black community with the homophobic brush, which I think is unfair. Diane in Niceville, Florida. Is that an actual town, Niceville?
It is. It's about 2 miles from Eglin Air Force Base and about 5 miles from Destin, Florida.
And are people particularly nice, or are there nasty people in Niceville?
The 20 Democrats here are.
Anyway, go ahead on gay marriage.
The reason the conservatives and Republicans are against gay marriage is because it affects their bottom line. They're worried about less population, less money coming in, and same reason for abortion. They're not. It's not morally. It's a dollar thing.
Yep, I hear you. Mayor John in West Hollywood, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Mayor.
Hey, morning, Stephanie.
We should point out you are former Mayor John of West Hollywood.
Yeah, we rotate. I'm former mayor, and I'll be mayor again in 2 years.
All right.
Once a mayor, always a mayor. Hey, I was calling under the theory of sometimes you're the windshield, sometimes you're the bug. You know, here in California during the 60s, there was an anti-black initiative on the ballot about freedom to rent to get around the Civil Rights Act that Congress passed.
Mm-hmm.
That passed 2-1 in California, an initiative that said that landlords have the right to rent to whomever they want. But the court struck that down, saying that the tyranny of the majority can never be used against a minority. And it's just so ironic now that we hear these black ministers coming out against gay people.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, don't you remember the lessons of history of what happened?
Yep, divide and conquer.
Exactly.
Yep, absolutely. Thank you, Mayor John. Lauren in Columbia, Missouri is against gay marriage. Hello, Lauren.
I just want to know, how come you guys bash Mrs. California?
Miss California.
She's Miss California.
I'm sorry, Miss Kelly.
She's not opposite married yet or any other kind.
She's just expressing her viewpoint, and I have the same viewpoint.
And we have the right to criticize her.
I disagree with her viewpoint, that's all. I didn't say she didn't have a right to say it.
In fairness, it's Obama's viewpoint, too.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't her and bash her and make jokes.
I didn't make jokes about her. I made jokes about her fake boobs.
Okay.
I just said that God made gay people and real breasts. I was just saying.
And I'm just saying that you know, to attack people that have a different point of view.
Not attacking, just criticizing.
Oh, I'm attacking. Oh, I'm attacking mean points of view.
I disagree with gay marriage for natural reasons. They can't have two men, two women can't have babies. They can't reproduce.
So do you think that childless marriage should be outlawed?
No, that's not what
should
I'm saying.
Should seniors be allowed to marry because they can't have kids?
No, I'm saying that the act is unnatural.
It seems to be very natural, sir. Every civilization that's ever existed in human history has recorded same-sex relationships. It seems to be very natural.
Let me finish my point.
Yes, sir.
It exists in every species.
If you gave gay people 120 years and let them be gay, in 120 years you'd have zero population. It's species suicide.
Right, but 100% of the population is never going to be gay. That doesn't make sense.
Well, it does make sense because...
No, it doesn't. What, you mean if we let gay people be gay, there'll be more of them? Like, everyone will be gay? If we say it's okay?
No, we can use the same argument with murder, okay?
I know, but you're using a slippery slope argument that doesn't make sense. Gay people will probably always be whatever percentage they are, 10% of the population. What are you saying? If we all say it's okay to be gay, everyone will be gay and there won't be, and we'll cease to exist?
What I'm saying is if there's an unnatural act and it's promoted, like murder, for example.
We're not promoting it. It just is. Like John said, it has always existed throughout every civilization. We didn't create it.
Well, I'm not talking about gays being gay. I'm talking about gays being married. Okay? Anyway, I guess, you know, that's my point.
Okay, but you're saying if we allow gay marriage, we will cease to exist because procreation will stop. Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm saying that the act is unnatural, and why should it be promoted by our government, by the states, and by me?
Why is it unnatural for two people to love each other? I bet you've had the same kind of sex that some gay people have.
You know, a relationship is way more than sex. You do understand that.
Stephanie, I never said it was unnatural for them to love each other. It's unnatural for them to get married and act as though they are
They're not acting like they're a man and a woman. They're acting like who they are.
Well, two men are two men, and you can't reproduce.
So are you against birth control?
That's what. But then John asked you good questions, and you're saying no one that is not reproducing should be allowed to get married, right?
I didn't say that. You're not
you just said that two men or two women can't reproduce.
So they can't get married.
No. So they can't reproduce, so they're unnatural. And promote
so barren
so
couples are unnatural.
People that can't reproduce are unnatural. Then anybody that can't reproduce is unnatural.
If straight people who can't reproduce get married, is that unnatural?
No. Okay. I'm look, Stephanie, let me help
you. I think we've shot you down, haven't we, Lauren? I think you're out of bullets, and now you're about ready to throw the gun at us, aren't you?
Oh, no, you haven't shot me down. Not listening to my point.
Yes,
okay?
I am. All right. If you had a point, I'd listen to it.
Nothing in the teachings of Jesus against same-sex relationships.
That was I had to put that call to sleep. Yeah. That was the only that was the only humane thing to do at that point.
Arsenic is natural.
I was trying to give him a chance.
You see two gay men holding hands, that's two more women for you to strike out with. It's a beautiful thing.
Come on, kids.
I'm a straight man who loves to hang out with gay men. I'm a fag stag. Those are my people.
That's funny.
All the cool women are already in the gay bars anyway. Guys, wake up.
All right. You know, there's other news going on. The president proposing, what is it now, $17 billion worth of budget cuts.
$17 billion is a lot of money to people in America. I understand it might not be to some people in this town, but that's probably why we're sitting on a $12 trillion American Express bill.
Tim Geithner, the Treasury Secretary, on the bank stress test. I guess they passed or something.
Our hope is that with these actions today, banks are going to be able to get back to the business of banking. The leaders of our nation's banks, have a lot to do to earn back the public's trust. And to do that, we want to see them working hard in their communities, making the loans to businesses and consumers that are going to be so important to economic recovery.
And as our last caller pointed out, the gay people, as you know, don't have the moral values or the...
It's not natural.
Yes, because they're not natural. Only Sean Hannity has moral values. He's the only one that knew it was National Prayer Day yesterday.
Today is the National Day of Prayer, but you wouldn't know it by visiting the Obama White House. The president has refused to hold a formal event to mark the day. I guess to Reverend Wright, maybe he wasn't available today.
Because Reverend Wright was...
Oh, he's so funny, the doughboy, isn't he? Because he's so pro-tax cuts for the rich and pro-death penalty and pro-war that he's the real Christian authority. You know, I'm still angry about the preemptive war guys claiming they're Christian. Yeah, Jesus never said, forgive us our trespasses as we trespass against those we think will trespass against us.
Yeah, exactly.
Doughboy.
Not real threats. Things that are threat-ish.
He's nothing without Combs. Nothing.
Yes, absolutely. That show is insufferable.
I'm doing a sitcom based on Hannity and Combs called One and a Half Men.
Hey!
The John Fugelsang that we love. 20 minutes after the hour, back with more with comedian John Fugelsang on everything in the news.
Amen.
All of it.
Two men.
It's going to be a jam-packed half hour on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm starting to wonder if we've crossed a line here.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 25 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12.
Damn. Is that your Freedom Williams impression?
Solid.
Comedian John Fugelsang is live in the studio.
This is the sound.
Jerry in Delray Beach.
Sweat till you bleed.
Wants to slap Chris, and that's the only reason I took this call. Hi, Jerry.
Hey. Christopher.
Hi.
You know, this all goes back to your mother not buying you Twister until this Christmas. You're emotionally frigid. That's you only have one cat. Professor Fugelsang has how many cats?
Right now, I have three cats. I'm legally an old woman. No, I'm down to two. I'm down to two cats.
Listen, every being needs to have other beings of its own species.
Thank you. That's why I just got Max a playmate that is killing me. I haven't had any sleep in 2 weeks.
Mama, did you get the link for the book I sent you?
No, I'll go look in my email later.
It's called Smarter Than You Think. Your dog will be trained overnight if you just do exactly what the man says.
What does it say?
It says a 20-inch, exactly 20-inch chain attached next to his bed. He will not go. My dog went from going 30
chain
times
him?
With
chain
no
him
food.
To the bed?
Near his bed so he can
listen,
get up.
I've got too many other people chained to my bed.
Yeah,
I don't have room.
Rick James.
Really? Who do you have chained to your bed, Stephanie?
Listen, that cabana boy lies. All I'm saying is...
boy band from next door.
Sometimes. All right.
I entered the lottery.
Let's go to Jeff in Jacksonville, Florida on Puppy Tips. Hello, Jeff.
Hello. Your best trainer is going to be that other dog of yours. We've got six dogs, and we've had... obviously didn't get them
no,
all
it's
one.
True. He follows Max out the dog door. Max pees, then he pees next to him. He does everything Max does, but he still is going inside.
Right, and it's just going to take... We've got a German Shepherd pup that just turned 5 months, and it was so frustrating because she'd go to the dog door and pee in front of it before going outside, and
yes.
Then one day it just clicked.
Yep.
It just clicked and she went out.
Well, see, this is my sixth dog, and I don't know if I'm just older and drunker now, but I'm like, why is this so hard? I've done it before.
Well, I am old and drunk right now, but
okay.
It just takes that. And
all
the
right.
Other thing we did, and I know people will disagree with this, is at night to keep her from whining in the crate.
Yeah.
Because yours is a big dog, and I'm also thinking if this training doesn't work, you can get one of those bags that they put on horses for parades. But you can put her in bed with you. And when she starts to move around, you feel it and take her out. But you're lucky being home. You can watch the cues, but it's just going to click.
No, I did
day.
That. He it slept with happened. Me for a while, and then I left him in the kitchen last night, and with the there was screaming. So I'm a little tired.
On behalf of the dog.
Yes. Yeah. All right. John Fugelsang, quickly, tell us what you have. A couple of things coming up. One with our buddy Rick Overton in Seattle.
I've got a movie opening up at the Seattle International Film Festival in the beginning of June called The Whole Truth, starring Eric Roberts, Elizabeth Rome, Rick Overton, and myself playing two roles in this one. I am. And that was very fun. I'm going to be at the Fake Gallery tonight for the Fake Show, along with Mystery Science Theater's Frank Conniff.
Where's that? Here in L.A.?
That's in L.A. at Melrose and Heliotrope, and that's a dynamite show and a hilarious art gallery. And a few other things I'll smack around when we come back.
All right. That and much more. 28 minutes after the hour, comedian John Fugelsang live in the studio with us on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Look at that side boob.
I'm just from California, but, you know, I got a little side boob. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 33 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Joined by comedian John Fugelsang live in the studio.
Danke Shane.
And you have a couple other things coming up to tell us about.
I have a lot of exciting projects right now. I'm developing a game show about L.A. men called Gay or Armenian. I've written the world's very first ever hardcore gangster rap adaptation of Winnie the Pooh.
Mm-hmm.
That's called Tigga Please. I've combined Facebook and Twitter into a new site called Twitfaced.
Yes.
Which is where you get drunk on your own self-promotion.
I understand.
A lot of things going on for me.
He's on the cutting edge. He's a busy, busy, busy man.
You don't have a Twitter account, though.
I do have a Twitter account.
Do you?
I just got on Twitter last week.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, I realize it's for people whose attention span is too low for Facebook, I guess.
Yeah,
and
it really
so
is.
I have joined Twitter, but I don't understand it yet. I
don't either.
It took me a while, too. And then
it seems of all the self-involved things things the internet has brought us, that's the most self-involved.
I'm afraid so,
that people really care about.
Yeah, but I am hoping to join a crappy band so I can get back on MySpace.
Ann in Oklahoma City, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Ann.
Hello. I have a John Boner story for you.
Oh, the boner again. All right.
Well, you know, the jobs report came out today.
Yep.
And he already had a statement like 2 minutes after it came out, so apparently he was sitting waiting on it. He was complaining that Washington is arrogant and that the Republicans have reached out numerous times for bipartisanship and that the stimulus bill that they had could create more jobs with half the money than the Democrats' bill.
Mm.
And I was like, what bill did they put out? What stimulus package?
Is this as good as his budget that had no numbers in it?
I guess so. But he said that basically the Democrats refused what they had because they said it would have cost less and it would have produced more jobs.
In a related story, his pants are on fire.
All right. Beth in Minneapolis wants to respond to our caller that says the gays are unnatural. Hello, Beth.
Oh, good morning, Steffi.
Good morning.
I just wanted to say we have too much peanut butter in our chocolate in this country. There's too much religion in politics.
Yeah.
My sister-in-law, who is born in the Netherlands, and my brother were married in the Netherlands. And to get married in the Netherlands, you have to go through a state ceremony. It is with the government's approval, and you sign all the contracts. Then they wanted to have their marriage in a church. They wanted to have a religious ceremony, so they had a completely separate religious ceremony. Now, if we could have a separation like that, that would take all the fizz out of this argument.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, that's what I keep saying. They keep getting their church in my state.
That's exactly right.
And their peanut butter in my chocolate. All right.
It's very true. I mean, if you really want to have a Christian nation, then you got to you can't have one or the other.
Right.
If you want torture, if you want death penalty, if you want preemptive war, don't say we're going to be a Christian nation.
Yeah.
It's that simple.
Yeah, exactly.
If you want a Christian nation, you're socialist.
Yep. Tim and Madison on the unnatural argument that our caller made. Hello, Tim.
You know, he brought up Miss California. How is she natural? Her boobs aren't even real.
Thank you.
You know, there's a lot of unnatural people in this world that I'm sure, you know.
I noted the irony in that, Kim, that God made gay people, but he did not make her boobs.
No, exactly, like you said earlier, and I look at it. I grew up in a very hodgepodge religious household. I had, my great-grandmother was Jewish. My grandparents were Lutheran, and my father was Catholic.
Not natural.
So I'm definitely not natural because I do, you know, my great-grandma said I was never going to go to hell for being gay. I was going to go to hell because I love pork.
Right.
Miss California thinks marriage equality means both partners have matching trust funds.
Yeah, there you go. All right. John Fuel saying your thoughts on new Democrat Arlen Specter. Tom Ridge will not challenge him, by the way, first of all.
That's right. Oh, what a relief. I was so worried about how Tom Ridge felt about things. I want to congratulate the Democrats on finally getting their second Lieberman. You know, they really needed that.
One wasn't enough.
But I've been watching a lot of Galactica, and all I can think is, guys, he's still a Cylon.
Yes. Yes, he is.
He looks like one of us, but he's still a Cylon. And I bring up the magic bullet theory still. I'm sorry, but young Arlen Specter on the Warren Commission was the guy who invented the magic bullet theory that one bullet caused seven wounds in Kennedy and Connolly. And it's not really a liberal conspiracy to bring up this leap of logic. Because if you believe the magic bullet, if you can swallow that, you got a magic gullet.
You really are channeling Jim Ward today.
Really?
Thanks.
So, but here's how we're different, though, than Republicans. Because, you know, Rush Limbaugh is not going to be happy till he boots pretty much every last moderate Republican out of the party,
that's
including
true.
Colin Powell. But what do you call it? Our friend Dick Durbin, of course, he gave up his committee chairmanship to give it to Specter.
Yes, he did.
So they made a deal. They've reached an agreement with Arlen Specter to partially restore his
really
status.
Really minor committee, though.
It's not. It's the Department of Committee of.
It's a subcommittee on drugs and health, or something like that.
Exactly, crime and drugs.
Yeah, that's
things.
It.
It's a. Things.
I mean, it's not popular to say to Democrats, but Arlen was in a pro-war, pro-drug war, anti-gay marriage, rewarding the Wall Street crooks, and letting the torturers go free party, and he still is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I mean, the Democrats have got a lot of ways to go before they're that different from the Republicans right now.
Yeah, I
and
hear you.
And Ms. Pelosi has proven that.
Yeah, except that, you know, you got to say that Republicans are becoming a smaller and smaller tent, and we're trying to have a bigger tent. And
it's true. Although I don't think they're going the way of the Whigs. Everyone keeps saying the Republican Party's dying out, and it's just not going to work that way. I don't see the Democrats getting so bloated they have to split up into two parties yet either.
Well, we can't overreach. You know, I heard somebody wrote a book already. Remember what was Karl Rove talking about 40 years of Republican rule? Somebody's writing a book like that already about the Democrat. And like, don't get ahead of yourselves. Like, let's not start.
The attention span of this country.
Yeah.
I mean, it is amazing. And I think if the Democrats were smart, they would pump all their money into promoting the Right to Life Party. Because the smartest thing they can do is split the Republican Party up. Republican Party is like Iraq. It's three different tribes united. You've got the conservative Christian Party that worships Jesus as a god, because that's easier than following his teachings. You've got the Wall Street Golden Calf Worshippers Party, and then you've got the guys who really like Tom Clancy books. And those are the three segments. And the Republican Party doesn't care about abortion. Abortion they have as a fundraising tool. If abortion became illegal, they wouldn't know how to raise money anymore. So they're never going to do it. George Bush never once came to a Right to Life convention, and the whole Bush family is pro-reproductive rights. They just pretend they're not. George Bush,
in order to get elected.
Exactly. Yeah. George Bush was pro-abortion rights until the day Reagan asked him to be his vice president. Mm-hmm. The Democrats should give a lot of money to promote the Right to Life Party to break up the Republicans that way and suck the evangelicals out.
Now, you talked about them being the pro-torture party. By the by, so Eric Holder says, we will not release terrorists from Gitmo into neighborhoods in the U.S.
Like that was going to happen anyway.
Yeah. But he also said some of the detainees will be let go, indicating the administration believes some held there are not terrorists.
Of course.
Yeah, so that's the problem. Is, you know, I think we said earlier, someone had asked, did George Bush really think he was going to be able to hold these people forever on no charges? And the answer is no, of course not. He knew it would be the next guy would have to deal with this problem.
Exactly right. I mean, you know, it wasn't exactly a buck stops your administration, but the real disappointment to me, although I'm not surprised, is now we found out that Pelosi knew about this back in 2002, so she only looked surprised because of the Botox.
Oh, now, look at you making a Sean Hannity joke.
Hey,
well, we don't know yet. We'll see. I mean, I heard Rachel Maddow talking about this last night. She had Pelosi on, so hopefully, you know, we'll get clarification on this. I don't know yet.
I've got a big Pelosi block, and for me, it's very liberating not being a Democrat because I don't have to, you know, nod along with the party all the time. Mm-hmm. And as far as Pelosi being a leader, you can't be the face of a movement when your face has no movement.
All right, that was a good one.
That was, yeah.
Sean Hannity will use that tonight, I think.
But, I don't think Pelosi has been the best leader for the House.
Human appendix does more than Harry Reid, okay? It has more functions. I'm sorry.
I think we could have a stronger leader in the Senate than Harry Reid as well.
Exactly. Harry Reid is like Clark Kent without a phone booth, okay? It's not going to go anywhere. We have to get some real leaders in the party. I like Obama.
Listen,
he's a leader.
I hear you. But I also just want to know what the extent of the story is on that. Because, you know, what she says, at least so far, is that they weren't told these things were being done, but they could possibly, you know, be used. I don't know what the difference is legally.
She had no outrage when she heard that. No outrage over that.
You know,
McCain said it was torture. Waterboarding is torture.
Yep.
People say it's simulated drowning. It's not simulated drowning. It's drowning, and you stop before they die. I will say one thing, and it's not very PC, but waterboarding, great for the pores. I mean, it's like a colonic for
John
your face.
Saying, you are a scamp. Condoleezza Rice says she's glad to be out of the political spotlight, except for those pesky fourth graders that keep asking her about being a torturer. She says she doesn't miss her old job. It's nice to not have that knot in your stomach as you go into the front door. Well, yes, if you're working for George Bush, then one would...
Really, that's how it felt. It must have been so hard for her.
Mm-hmm. Well, it must be hard being the worst national security advisor ever.
That's and, the one thing. I mean, like, she didn't lose her job on 9/11. The national security advisor got a promotion.
Yep.
And only Bill Maher got fired.
That's what Bill Maher says. He's the only one that got fired over 9/11. Yep. There's something wrong. Exactly.
All consistency, Republicans. Check your own morality.
43 minutes after the hour. Back with more of John Feuerstein live in the studio on all things politics and pop culture as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I'll say this about Stephanie's show. She's as harmless as a kitten.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 48 minutes after the hour. Joined live in the studio by comedian John Fugelsang.
Holla.
1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere.
By the way, love your t-shirt. Jesus loves hip-hop.
Thank you.
Yes.
It's Holler. True. And he loves good country as well. Jesus loves all kinds of good music. I'm down with Jesus. See, I view Jesus the way I view Elvis. I love the guy, but some of the fan clubs freak me out.
Catherine in Los Angeles on gay marriage. Hey, Catherine.
Hi. Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
How are you?
Good. Morning. Go ahead.
Hi. Just quick point. I just wanted to stand up for all of the African-American Christians who do not have a problem with gay marriage.
Right on.
And the other thing that people may not know, little quick fact, that most pedophiles are actually heterosexual males.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes, thank you. I know. Yes, exactly.
I keep reminding the Pope about that.
Do you? Do you talk to him often?
I just told him last night. I said, Pope, if God wanted us to be celibate, we'd have been born married.
Vicky in Fresno, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hi. I just wanted to call and say about that guy who said that the reason gay people can't get married is because then the human race would die out, basically.
Yes, yes.
Well, I'm making it my personal mission to make sure that doesn't happen. I've had 4 different babies for 2 different gay couples.
Oh, good for you.
And I can tell you right now, there's an entire community of us out there who prefer gay couples. But you know who we won't carry for?
Who?
Evangelical Christians.
Good for you.
Her womb discriminates, for God's sakes.
That's remember, a good breeder.
Remember that gaby shower I went to about a year ago?
Yes.
That couple had a surrogate. Had a baby through a surrogate.
Fabulous.
Yeah, so.
No one has taken us up on our idea. There should be a gaby gap for, where do you shop for a gaby?
Yes.
I see it right now. Tim Gunn can do the commercials. I don't know what you're going for with that jumper, but make it work.
That is awful. There's a higher standard for gay baby clothes, I think.
Little teeny tiny assless chaps.
Exactly.
That onesie does not work. You're not an autumn.
Angelo in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hi, Stephanie. I've listened to you since KFI a long time ago.
Wow.
I followed you quite a bit.
You are old as I am. Go ahead.
I'm calling from Hyde Park, Obama's home.
Yeah.
I just want to say, when people, this is like my best friend, he always talks about gay people shouldn't get married. They shouldn't get married. I ask him all the time, what difference does it make to you? What's going to happen the next day after the gay people are married that you know? What's going to happen that's changing your life? Now, here's a guy who's had 8 kids by 8 different women.
Oy vey. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's quick to tell me about what the Bible says. What the Bible says that you shouldn't fornicate either, but you've had 8 children out of wedlock, so what's the deal there?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just a hypocrisy.
And what does he say out of curiosity?
Nothing. He can say, oh, it's not the same thing. That's usually what he says. It's not the same thing, you know. Yeah, it is the same thing. If you're quoting the Bible on one aspect, you got to quote it on the other, you know.
Well, that's like our caller. Every time we made a good point, he said, well, that's not my point. And we're like, yes, we know.
course,
that's the problem.
Course.
Is your points make no sense in ours? All right, let's go to Sabrina and Eureka. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
I am a long-time listener, first-time caller. And, okay. Steph, I just have to tell you one thing, and I don't know how you're going to take this.
Uh-oh.
But my kids listen to you, too, and my oldest son is just adamant that you're a blonde.
Oh, well, he's wrong.
I know he's wrong. And
she'd
I
look so good,
him, and I have to pull up your website to show him a picture because every morning he goes, sorry, Mom, I'm not believing it. I'm sorry. So,
yeah.
Whatever. I don't know what it is about your voice or, you know.
Okay.
When I first started listening to her, I thought she was a fat blonde.
Yes,
oh,
a lot
really?
Of oh, in
yes.
fact, a lot of men in prison used to draw pictures of me, and I was a very rotund
little
blonde woman.
Uh-huh.
What that's about?
Well, you didn't go there yet.
Ah, all right.
Okay, so my point is, the whole I go back and forth on this argument too, just because you know there's so many different facets of it. It's the gay marriage thing. You know, it's emotional. People, you know, come
right.
at it theologically, all that stuff. But it's basically about what the institution of marriage. What function it serves in society. And it's not just about reproduction. I mean, you can obviously reproduce without being married, you know? It's
right.
not it's not really about that. And to say, you know, the one main thing that people use to condemn it is to say that it's unnatural. Well, so what if men and women decided to stop getting married? Would that be then unnatural? And would we then force them to?
Right.
I mean, you
yeah.
know, it's like, so everybody says, okay, we don't want to get married anymore. So then what, people are going to come out of the closet and say, oh, well, that's unnatural, you know, and then herd everyone together and force them to. I mean, it comes down to, like,
yeah.
basic human rights.
Yeah, I thought that was a bit of a slippery slope that our caller took, that if we allow gay marriage, society will cease to exist because everyone will stop procreating immediately. That seemed just a skosh bit of a slippery slope to me.
Why is it the people who think that gay marriage is unnatural also consume a lot of high fructose corn syrup? I mean,
what's that about? Okay.
They need to switch to Pepsi throwback.
Speaking of which, now, John Fuglesang has mentioned he is not a Democrat. He's a, and you have an Obama man crush, as most men do.
I have an Obama man crush, but I am not demo-dependent, no. And I do love Obama. I look at him and I just think, damn, Urkel grew up all right, you know, because... he's the ultimate black nerd. He was that's the reality show. It's Black Nerd for the White Herd. And it's every nerd's fantasy to one day grow up and read in the paper that Congress approves of your massive package.
Yeah, there you go. Exactly.
Which is why Glenn Beck doesn't like him. Glenn Beck's terrified of his package, and that's why he wants the teabag.
That's what makes him weep. Yeah, how would you think of those teabaggers?
Let me tell you something. Here's the thing. They're compared it to the Boston Tea Party, and Glenn Beck is still doing this. This week he did. I watch Glenn Beck because I'm a thinker. And the thing is that... Okay, the Boston Tea Party was Americans attacking a foreign government dressed as Indians.
Right.
The teabag protests were lobbyists attacking their own government dressed as Americans.
Yes.
And it will continue to be so. And, you know, the teabaggers, I mean, I don't want to get testy about it, but it just seemed like the mouthpieces were leading the nuts. And it was very, very controlled. But it does prove to me that Fox News' slogan ought to be for feudal lords and the serfs that love them.
Exactly. It's not quite as catchy, but I like it. Well, here's one thing I'm not thrilled with the president over. Did you hear that he's going to fire his first gay Arabic linguist? Which, you know, what's Dan Choi, you saw him on TV last night. He was on Rachel, I believe. He has got notice the military is about to fire him because he came out of the closet on national television.
Mm-hmm.
People say, okay, it's unfair to blame Obama because he inherited Don't Ask, Don't Tell. But a new study about to be published by a group of experts in the military shows President Obama does, in fact, have stroke of the pen authority to suspend gay discharges. The Don't Ask, Don't Tell requires anyone gay be fired.
Yep.
But there's nothing requiring the military to make such a finding. The president can simply order the military to stop investigating service members' sexuality.
Harry Truman desegregated the military with one pen stroke, and it's worth pointing out that Barry Goldwater was for gays in the military. Barry Goldwater is to the left of Obama.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
But he did violate the current policy. And so,
I'm getting impatient with the march of the slowness of the civil rights in our country.
The good news is, if you want to find a gay Arabic linguist, they're all over Craigslist. Seriously. Casual encounters.
Well, here's my other, and you and I have talked about this, about torture, about prosecuting. You know, I do not see how we can, as a country, can ignore war crimes. The Bush attorneys who wrote the terror memos are now facing backlash because they're saying that they're not going to face criminal sanctions but maybe be disbarred. We believe there's a lot of evidence to suggest that war crimes were committed, said one an expert from a legal group.
It was done. We know it. They went from saying it didn't happen to saying, well, it happened, but it's okay, and now they're going to blame the lawyers.
Right.
Pretty much. It's all going
to
be
and someone ordered the lawyers to do this.
Oh, well, that was Lord Cheney. I mean, you know how it would be. John, you came in and said, Lord Cheney, I have to tell you that waterboarding is... I find your lack of patriotism disturbing. It's not legal, Lord Cheney. Neither is freedom. But torture doesn't work, Lord Cheney. The terrorists will say anything to make it stop. You seem to know a lot about these terrorists, don't you? Why are you helping the terrorists, you? By the way, what is you?
What is me?
No, what is you?
You is me.
Me is you?
I is you.
You isn't me. I'm not a terrorist. You're going to write me a different legal brief.
I'm going to write you a different legal brief.
And you're going to tell me not to worry, because it's impossible for me to break the law.
It's impossible for you to break the law.
And you're going to bring me a virgin, so I can feed.
Yes, Lord Cheney.
Thank you, John.
Pretty much how it went down.
For that impromptu little skit on how the torture occurred.
That's exactly
you.
How it happened.
More importantly, what about me and my puppy, Gail in Tucson, Arizona?
Well, hi there, Stephanie.
Hi. Go ahead.
Are you going to take notes because it's going to be a test?
Okay, hurry up.
Okay. Anyway, the crate that you have for your dog, is it big enough for him to get up and walk around
Yes, it's
in?
Ginormous.
Okay. You don't want to crate the dog while you're sleeping and everything. He's part of the pack. Okay, just crate them when you're going to be away from the house.
Okay, all right. I'm sorry. I'm out of crate training tips. And by the way, I'm not using the friggin' crate. All right, Maxine Waters, Congresswoman extraordinaire, will on the show on Monday. John Fuglesang, thank you, honey.
What a pleasure. And by the way, I thought Star Trek looked like Starfleet Academy musical, but apparently it's pretty good.
Oh, yes. Fabulous. There's a tip from John Fuglesang.
Matthew McConaughey, you're allowed to turn down scripts. Thanks, Steph.
See you Monday on the Stephanie Miller Show.